Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to Soft Black Woman, presented by The Betches Up. I'm your host, Dr. Akilah Kadeh, and on Soft Black Woman, we talk about a range of topics from pop culture to politics, you know, to how we live our lives, of course, through the lens of intersectionality. Just a reminder for those of you who may have missed our last couple of episodes, Soft Black Woman is getting its own podcast feed in the new year, and you can subscribe to it now. Be sure to search for Soft Black Woman on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening, and hit the follow so you don't miss a new episode when we come back in January. So this is the last episode of 2023, which is wild. Last episode. So don't worry. Again, I'll be back. In January, we'll have lots of fun guests. It'll be awesome and amazing. As you know, I have to go off and be a soft black woman for the rest of the year. And then we'll get back into collective softness in January. But as for today, I'm very excited to introduce my guest. She's wildly talented. She's a content creator. She's a financial hype woman and proud author of Money Out Loud, all the financial stuff no one taught us.
Thank you so, so much for having me. I feel surreal. I sort of, ever since the book came out, I feel like an untethered astronaut, just sort of like floating in space, like just, and in goodness and intensity and just full of, I'm up and down like interest rates, man. It's all over the place.
Oof, those interest rates are no joke. I'm so glad I bought my home when things were really low. Like, I'm glad I locked into that.
Stay there, never leave.
Because these 7%, oof.
Exactly, goodness. It's real painful. But I'm psyched to be here and so honored to be closing out the year with you.
Yeah, thank you. Right back at you, honored. I have on my Tubman hoodie for you. I will always have my Tubman hoodie on for you. Because it just embodied you so much, like women of color and finance, BIPOC people, immigrants, making money. I mean, okay, so I'm gonna back it up just a second. For those who may not know, I had the incredible honor and pleasure to be your sensitivity editor on your wonderful book.
Absolutely. I mean, it was, the honor is all mine 100%. It really needed, and it's an honor circle. It's just honor uno reverse, back and forth. Just kamehameha back at you. Yeah. And building that book, Money Out Loud, I mean, it couldn't have been what it is without you. And so I'm psyched to be connected.
Yeah. No, we can't do that. It's too early. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to be a soft black woman. I'm going to receive it. I love this book so much because wherever anyone is with their money, they're able to find something that resonates. But because I'm also first gen and a child of an immigrant, there's a lot of things in here. And I was like,
right.
Yes. I'm also a child of divorce. Mm-hmm. So,
Yes. Lots of that.
And like that financial trauma. Yeah, that comes up. And, you know, when to spend, not to spend, guilt. We have so
it's
much.
So
guilt.
Much. I mean, when we talk about our financial identities and like our money story, as I say in like the first chapter, we realize there's so many layers to it. It's not just like, I'm so-and-so and I'm bad with money. Like that phrase, you can like open it up like an accordion. There's so much to it. Like your family history, your cultural history, right. Your traumatic history, your childhood, the climate, the political climate, all of it.
Yeah. And then also when you are going from like one tax bracket to the next or one salary to the next and what that means and this urge we have to like sometimes tap into white dominant culture and want to be able to do these things. And then we realize like, oh, we can't necessarily sustain them. I mean, we can, we just needed to have an approach or process to get there. Not just like, you know, making
yes,
it rain.
Absolutely. It's such a specific like first, second gen thing too, of just like my salary is changing. My access to wealth is changing. Oh, there's guilt. Guilt came in the package of increased wealth. And like, okay, I think I know how to increase it another way. Why does it feel icky? Do I have to decolonize my financial brain? Oh my gosh. There's so much to it.
That's why I really love your book, because I think, which is why you do what you do on your platform, which is incredible. It's providing a role model and example of a BIPOC person, of a woman of color, all of your points of intersectionality to talk about things that can be really sticky and uncomfortable, and how to work through those things and also to find financial power, you know, like within oneself, but also the bank
accounts. 100%. I mean, it starts from the inside out, but also, you know this. We talk about this all the time. We are born into the crappy monopoly game called capitalism. And money is a thing we have to deal with.
No. What is capitalism?
It's not real, and it runs our lives.
I mean, we are all able to pay for everything. But I think that's really interesting, too, because as businesswomen ourselves, who have our, you know, little mini empires and what we're doing, we have to think about what that money also looks like, too. What are our financial goals as business owners? How are we wanting to obtain goals or not? And if we do, does it mean we're this or not this? And, you know, there's just, I mean,
pain, because you're the FBI agent in my phone. These are the things that I'm constantly unpacking with my business coach and my therapist, of like, if I want to build a business, I see the girl boss trademark way to do it. And a lot of that path makes sense, and a lot of it does not make sense to me. It doesn't feel good in my body, how I want to reach these goals, but how do I do it while still being able to sleep at night and, you know, honor my ancestors and honor myself? And that is not easy to do as a BIPOC woman, as just someone like who's mission driven like you and has goals and wants to uplift community and wants to take care of yourself and be soft at the same time.
I would like to do all those things. I mean, I'm on a Forbes list, as many people know, which, you know, there's certain requirements to get on a Forbes list, which I'm very proud of. But the pressure of having to make a shit ton of money every year did not serve me at all, because then I automatically, you know, a lot of this is dependent on how white people viewed me or how they wanted to work with me. I haven't been able to have a business model ever since the murder of George Floyd, because it's inconsistent. Like, what comes in is inconsistent of whatever's happening situationally in society. So I had to deal with a huge amount of grief and a huge amount of failure for not having a repeat year when we had a recession, non-recession. And so I had to do a lot of work also with my therapist to say, like, you know, a win for me, a goal for me is making sure everyone on my team gets paid. Everyone on my team gets paid very well. Everyone on my team is able to have some type of bonus that I can't always promise year end, and that I will get at least half my salary. And if that happens, because when you own a business, it's not about you are the one who's always sacrificing, then that would be the win. I could just pay my business expenses. And that has definitely changed the perspective for me of how I deal with not only capitalism, but, you know, that financial independence, being a business owner, being a first gen kid, a Black woman. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Today's episode of American Fever Dream is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high end stuff? I have a solution for you. It's Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription rental service, and for just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. You get fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning and Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. This is the best. You just put it back in your box, send it out, and before you know it, you've got your next one. And you always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. I bought the Rachel Antonoff pasta puffer from them. I was obsessed with it, like everybody who tries it is, and it was completely sold out everywhere else. So I felt like I really, really had an in there. So thank you, Nuuly. Nuuly is an amazing value at $98 a month for any six styles. And right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code FEVERDREAM20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code FEVERDREAM20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code FEVERDREAM20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
We're here to talk about the culture. And this, and let's do it. This next segment is called For the Culture. This is the part of the show where we examine some of the top trending pop culture and media headlines. And our first subject of today is dumbass Trump.
Favorite.
The racist Trump.
Wait.
No, sorry. No, that
doesn't
work.
Sounds right to me.
Sexist Trump. No, wait. Yeah.
I like
homophobic
it.
Trump.
Check all the boxes.
Okay, cool.
We love a multi-hyphenate, don't we?
love one. Oh my God. It's just like slashing left and right of all the isms and obias. Just really into it. So a judge found that Trump committed fraud.
Did he?
In building his real estate empire. What? Everyone's like, gasp. Gasp. Didn't see this coming. So he committed fraud as he built his real estate empire, which we all know he talks about all the time. And that tarnishes the former president's image as a business titan. And to strip him of authority to make major decisions about, you know, future of his, like, marquee properties in his home state of New York.
Sad.
Right? Aww. So this order happened on Tuesday. It rescinds the business licenses as punishment.
Slap.
As a timeout. Which can make it, which can make it difficult or impossible for some of Trump's companies to operate in New York, if not successfully appealed. So, you know, Trump's team of attorneys, they have vowed, they have vowed to appeal, calling this decision, you know what this decision is, Berna?
Oh,
it's un-American.
Amen. Amen.
It is part of a campaign to just really fuck up his second bid, you know, for a presidency.
No, and it was going so well. It was just going so well.
Also, it's the third, so they don't even know that it's the third time he's running. First time he won, second time he lost. This is the third time.
They reset every time.
Really good at the numbers. Really good at the numbers there. Yeah, so... You know, you are a money person. You are a business owner. Not having a business license does prevent legal business.
That'll do it.
Does this warm you
this
up inside?
This really, I mean, it kind of makes me flash back to, you know how like in the 90s and like early 2000s, there were lots of sitcoms where would they, like you'd hear Trump-esque jokes. Trump would even come on as like, a cameo because he was like, he was the American businessman at the time. And I think, like myself and so many other millennials, I have been deep in nostalgia dives. And like, I'll just see a Trump mention, but a positive one. Or Trump himself come up and do like a fun little cutesy cameo. And I'm like, have the mighty fallen, or have the mighty just gotten scarier, bigger, like just sort of more Thanos-like? And so it's just wild to me that once upon a time he was such the American businessman that like he could poke fun at himself in American sitcoms. And now he is even more famous for much more backwards reasons. And so I'm just, this was y'all's king once upon a time. You know what I mean? This was the king.
It is.
And is, unfortunately.
You know, because even with all of the shit that he's going through, he's still
front runner. I mean, still like digging the heels. You know what I mean? Those who follow him are just digging their heels in. And it's,
just like that 80s, 90s sitcom. They're like, appearance.
He's here. He's our celebrity. Yeah. I mean, it makes me think about how cults work. It makes me think about how the fundamental, how the group think of things and how like so many flags, so many injunctions, so many accusations of fraud, so many arrests can be made. And they're like, that's still my man's though. That's still my man's.
Yeah. That's what's not mine, to be Someone's. Very clear, but that's people like, oh my God, he can do no wrong. Like heart eyes looking at, you know, the multi-hyphenate.
Truly, I mean, it tires me. I have to say I'm in a cycle where I know that like election year is coming up and we are going to be forced to look at things like this all the time. And I'm pre-tired even hearing news about this, like this kind of, I'm like, I haven't had it in me to care about what Trump has been up to on a daily level, because so many other things have taken our like collective attention. So hearing this, I'm like, oh, all right, okay. It's just put it on the board. I'll review it later. It's like the bad kid got detention again. whatever, man. Okay. Let's just let it go.
Cute little slap on the wrist. I'm just curious to see how white supremacy is going to show up in all of this and what's going to happen in the appeal process. Because he hasn't had any accountability. I'm waiting for accountability to happen. Will it?
Yes. I don't know. Is all of this just noise to kind of set him up as like, this is his Taylor Swift reputation era, you know, of just like, I'm a bad, they hate me. I'm a bad boy. Look at us just like, ugh.
Well, if we're using a Taylor Swift reference, it should be, it's me, hi.
I'm the problem, it's me.
With
a lot of pride, though, that's the most annoying thing I think about Trump for me these days is that he's like, that's right. I'm like, now I'm just like, it's just fluffing up the like, me against the world, us against the world, y'all. They're trying to throw injunctions at me. They're trying to accuse me of fraud and we're going to make it through. And I'm like, and I swear to God, if this story ends.
And, you know, he's fighting. He's fighting, you know, to keep all of the stuff he shouldn't have and the status he shouldn't have. I mean, I just, I can't even believe I've talked about Trump this long, so we're going to move on because I cannot stand him. I just cannot. But in the vein of sitcoms, though, hashtag Hot Strike Summer is over. I think it's Hot Strike Fall. Though I think fall is happening, but the WGA strike is over, which is so exciting. The WGA released some details of their MOA or Memorandum of Agreement, and it's exceptional. It's meaningful. There's protections for writers in every sector of the membership. Although the exact language hasn't been released, there's some good stuff in there, including increases in minimum wage and compensation, increased pension and health fund rates, improvements to terms for length of employment and size of writing teams. And it's important to know that writing teams has been a thing that's been on the decline in recent years. And a lot of it is due to streaming and having like these kind of like pop-up shows, these quick little shows that, you know, pop up. And so so more protection and improvement around that, better residuals. And we know residuals is another way to say royalties, including foreign streaming residuals, which I think is fantastic because I don't know, like I noticed that Netflix is giving me a lot of Dutch and Danish shows. And I'm like, oh,
a lot of K-dramas on mine, a lot of Chinese dramas.
This is fun. Totally. Which I love because I love learning about different cultures, whether captions or dubbed over, I'm really into it. So now the thing everyone has been talking about is AI, artificial intelligence. And so the agreement doesn't prevent writers or productions from making use of generative AI, but prohibits using software to reduce or eliminate writers and their pay. So a writer can choose to use AI when performing writing services if the company consents and provided that the writer follows applicable company policies. But the company can't require that a writer to use AI software, so like ChatGPT, when performing the writing services. Wild. So
It's super wild. I was listening to a podcast earlier this week that this was the part that the sort of final strike discussions, like this part took the longest. This is like the final thing that they needed to discuss and chew on the most. And how like a year ago, this was maybe in sort of more on the back burner for writers and folks in the entertainment industry. And now it's like the one thing that actually held up this part of the strike. And I mean, I'm sure writers have been terrified and this seems like a massive win to thwart our robot overlords from taking over just yet.
Oh, yeah.
Scary.
Overlords. The robots. I mean, listen, people need to be paid for their money. And as much as we advance with technology, which is great and it's important, we know that technology means the elimination of certain skill sets, people, craft. As writers ourselves, writing is really important. Like, I get that you can go and tell ChatGPT how and what you want or the theme or the vibe and tell me a story about whatever, but writing is an art form and it's something to be incredibly proud of as an author yourself soon. I mean, I am an author, but my book's not out yet, but when it's out, then
you're an author already. When do you're become an author. An you're author? Writing. You've been writing. You're an author.
I guess when you turn your manuscript. I mean, I've been a writer, but like the author title, it's like author, you know, it's author. Like all caps.
I know. And it's like 75% vowels too. So you have to like breathe it.
Right. Oof. Breathe it out. But I mean, writing is such an art form. Like my sarcasm and humor comes from me. I don't want it to come from an AI process, but we have to make sure that we keep this craft going. And having writers is one way to do that, to continually tell stories. And storytelling is so important for so many reasons, but particularly and selfishly for BIPOC people, since our stories tend to be
100%. Right? And storytelling, this is where I start to get a little scared, a little fight or flight, because I hear stories about how, like, if you feed ChatGPT enough stories, it can be a story. Basically, if you feed ChatGPT enough anything, it becomes human-like. Mm-hmm. And it horrifies me to think that one day we are going to be getting what's so good about storytelling, which is the humanity, individual stories that we all have, and we can be getting that from essentially like a robot slot machine. And even if that's the truth, I'm like, can we slow it down? I think part of the difficulty, I imagine, with this strike and like these AI discussions is like, no one was prepared for this to happen this quickly. Like, I know lots of people, even in the financial education sector, like financial content creators, who are like, we love ChatGPT to help us make like outline scripts or outline blogs. And there's been some like, okay, there's some good, there's some bad, but not, it was all going too quickly, I think. And I'm really, really glad that the strike was able to just be like, pump the frickin' brakes. You know, maybe there's ways to use this as a useful tool, but like, we're not ready to have it speak our stories for us. We're not ready to have it take over our salaries. No, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I always love activism and coming together and value of employees feeling like they can belong and evolve with what's happening with technologies. It's super, super important. I'm also happy that this hopefully will be a precipice or example, a role model for the actors who are on strike right now too, because they are still also dealing with technology and AI and streaming, all that other stuff. Writers shouldn't have to be in a position where they have to have multiple jobs to do something that they're talented at and something they love. They should be able to sustain their life like they did during the 80s and 90s and even early 2000s with, you know, sitcoms. You had 26 episodes. You did that for the year. You had the summer off. You're back, you know, and you were able to have seasons. But because there's so much saturation and people want to be all over the place with what they're watching, it's harder to have the TGI Friday. Thank God it's Friday.
The like prime time Thursday night. Classics. And it makes me wonder.
Family matter.
Oh my.
Yeah, all of that.
Well, like you would actually stay home and it was banger after banger after banger. And it makes me wonder like that part of life, right? We evolved from that because of streaming. And I always think, and I wonder what your take is too, on just like how much evolution can I take at once? How much of what's happening is just like the natural evolution of art and entertainment and the economy? Mm-hmm. And like how fast are we gonna go before we pump the brakes, right? Like sometimes I look at things happening with AI and I'm like, is this just me being like approaching my mid-30s and being the like person shaking my fist on my lawn being like, whereas like we know that change is inevitable, but it just seems to be spinning out of control. But I always try to temperature check for myself of just like things change. We know that things change. To what degree am I just being like just an old fuddy-duddy? and to what degree do like when and where do I embrace technology as a tool? But of course, the hard line is we should still be able to make a reasonable living off of the work that we do full time. Now that we're both authors and writers, isn't it so clear now why authors used to have, that used to be a full-time freaking job? It is consuming. And this is just one book at a time. So people who go through cycles of writing and seasons, I can imagine. It's so intense.
It is so, I don't even know how I did it. I don't know how I did it. But I did, and wrote every word.
That's right.
In the book, writer, soon to be author, author, whatever. So interesting enough, I think, one thing to note as we kind of wrap up hot strike summer is that also this week, President Biden joined the UAW workers, so United Auto Workers, and Trump is going to talk to them too, but who cares about Trump? The point is the UAW workers are asking for like 40% increase in pay, and pay them. But it's important to note this is the first time in history that we have a president visit and like in solidarity with union strikers and then someone else who's running. And so this is just like what you were saying earlier, it's a taste of what's to come with this as we get into the full election year, as we roll into January. But someone's president, not necessarily mine, but I do have respect for it. Taylor Swift dictates the future, right, of so many things. People, Taylor has had a wonderful summer with the Eras Tour, and also wearing one of my clients, Hill House Home, which I'm really proud of. And also Doan, another one of my clients. So that's cool. Yeah, these are things important to me. That's how I get excited about Taylor Swift.
She's like, adorable. I got a stake in the game a little bit. Get it, Taylor.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, you know, was it me? Definitely not. But I'm happy to be affiliated with the brands. So, you know, the game that was heard around the world, Travis Kelce plays for the Chiefs, and one could debate if that's still culturally appropriate or not. But don't love it. Don't love it. But Taylor Swift was in, you know, in the VIP suite, the box, eating Seemingly Ranch.
That's my new band name, Seemingly Ranch.
With Travis Kelce's mom.
Yeah.
Swifties did not know what the fuck to do. They didn't know what to do. They were doing this thing called football. They were Googling, what is the NFL? Travis Kelce's jersey was formerly 19th that week, and there was a 400% spike.
Of course.
He's top five.
Of course he is.
They're like, I need the jersey because they're totally going to be together. There's like TikTok things out there saying like his number is 87. And her number is 13. So it's like 100%. So it's perfect.
Swiftie math is incredible. It's truly incredible.
This is why I'm a Beyonce advocate, because I can't do that. I can't. That's too much time and energy. I just cannot. I'm an advocate for Beyonce, but I can't. Like, I love the Beehive, but I can't. I need them to tell me what I need to know. I can't.
But that's
go
part of Swiftie lore. As a person who is, I do call myself a Swiftie. I have resisted it for many, many years. And then every year at the end, Spotify Wrapped.
Okay. Wait, just say, say it out loud.
Swiftie. Hi, my name is Berna. And Spotify Wrapped was the first to gather me and be like, stop denying the fact that you're not a Swiftie. Look at how she tops your charts. Stop it. You need to just embrace it. One of the things about like fandoms is that, as we know now, fandoms all have sort of their own vibe, their own lore, their own traditions, their own kind of personality. And the thing with the Swifties is that they are all about the conspiracy theory. They're all about the numbers mean this. And Taylor Swift herself, or her team, sets things up, album releases, song releases. There's like little bits and pieces and like Easter eggs everywhere that's supposed to drop, like they purposely drop little hints of things. And so Swifties are just used to being like, this poor Travis Kelce and like his fandom, they're like, what is all this math? And Swifties are over here at the whiteboard with the numbers and the lines and the conspiracies.
You'll be married by this date. The probability of, you know, it's like, I mean, personally, I think it's a lot. I do like how they tend to be Travis and Taylor like into each other. The Swifties are also happy that he's taller than her, so that's a win. It's a win. After the game, they had he rented out a restaurant to have a private dinner with like teammates, family, and friends. And apparently, she's going to the game this weekend. God. So for those of you, it's called the National Football
NFL
League. Plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. Yes, so that is what you may be watching. This weekend, just to be a good Swiftie.
It's Taylor Watch.
Travis and his brother, they have Taylor Watch, have a cute little podcast. And his brother was like, you know, Taylor Swift put you on the map. Now, here's what I need everyone to know. Travis Kelce is fine as fuck. And I have been looking at him for years. Me personally, I'm surprised because he has a higher probability of dating black women who have ass and titties, much like myself. Not to say that Taylor doesn't
have
those
things. I'm a Swiftie. You
it's
can
just
say
not,
it. We know. We all have eyeballs.
Okay, straight up and down.
Toothpick.
Yeah, straight up and down. So I'm personally a little heartbroken
for the ass and titty sector of the world.
Because he was, because he was on my to-do 100%. List. You know what I mean? If I had an opportunity.
It's not, you never know. Something you I know, like do. Taylor Swift, she had just still just recently got out of a long relationship. For me, I'm just like, I love this for her. They're my reality TV.
I don't think as a Swiftie, I don't think you can say that. I think you have to say it works because 87. Oh my God.
See, 13. I'm not like a mathematical Swiftie. Yeah. I don't have like the math and PhD Swiftie algorithm art. To me, this like whole Travis Kelce Taylor. So I'm just like, this is good for them. Let the pretty rich kids play. Let them do the thing. It's my reality TV. It's my junk food. And I like to.
They're TNT. They can be that song, the TNT song. Gosh. The TNT. It's like the hard rock metal song. I'm not wide enough to know the name of that song, but I do know they say TNT in it. So if anyone wants to tell me what that is, just slide in my DMs. You know who I'm over though? Drizzy.
Yeah.
Drake. Or as I like Aubrey. To call him, Aubrey Graham. Don't get me wrong, he has some bobs. Yeah. Aubrey. Mm. I like to call him Aubrey. To remind him where roots. He came from, mm-hmm. which was Jimmy. Came from Jimmy. So we talked about it last week. We talked about Slime You Out and how he put Halle Berry on the cover of the single and she said no and he didn't give a fuck. But this guy.
Aubrey.
This guy has a lyric and a song.
It's not great.
That says... You got my mind in a terrible fine. Place, whipped and chained. You like
not
American
fine.
Slaves. Wait, should I say it like Drake? You got my mind in a terrible place, whipped and chained. You like American slaves. Anyway, it's been met with controversy because, you know, it's like, I mean, personally, slaves, not for me.
Nope.
Just not for me. Yes. Not for me. He also couldn't use an enslaved to be more culturally appropriate,
right?
And provide value. But it's the whipped and chained like American slaves. I was like, what is this Canada showing up? Is this the beautiful Canadian racism?
Is this sort of like a type of Me Too of just like hold up, you know, black folks weren't the only people who were enslaved. Hold up. I don't know. Do you think that Aubrey did this on purpose? Do you think that he loves the fact that we are all now like, oh, now we have to like break down the syntax of the, because how could you do this without knowing that people are going to rip you apart? Like he didn't have a sensitivity editor. It seems.
Who was in the studio? Okay. That's how we say it. Who was in the studio? And who was like, oh shit, that's fire.
Do it. Or like, I'm just imagining someone being like, oh my God, that's spicy, Drake. Do it. They're going to love it. Like, just like, they're going to hate you and love it.
I mean, you know, if you can say, you know, shit that's provocative, it gets the people going, as Will Smith. No, that's not Will Smith. Will, who said that? It's provocative. It gets the people going.
Oh my gosh. It gets the people going. It's provocative. What's his name?
Why are we not doing... Yeah, it's from the skating movie.
Yeah, it's provocative. Right? Is it it's like a song lyric that's not leaving my brain.
Well, we know who he... Anyway, white dude. Yes. Oh my God, it'll come to me later. I will announce it when it comes to me later. But this is like, okay, slime you out. You have controversy with the cover. Slime You Out. You have this whipped and chained thing. And so it's just like, Drake is getting on my nerves. I feel like I went to his last tour because I was trying to...
Sure.
Have feelings or do something for myself. And I like went by myself and I was like, oh my God, this tour is trash. Sorry, not sorry. And I've seen him several times before. I've had wonderful experiences, but it was just like, he was really in his feels and I feel like he's trying to find himself and there's like self-hate or maybe he's trying to figure out who he is as someone who is black and white and wanting to have power and dominance and control and feeling like, you know, on top of the world and all this comes out. He's like, I can say whatever I want. I can do whatever I want with pictures or images because like I'm top of food chain. I'm motherfucking Drake. I have a jet.
I guess, but it makes me think of like, you know, when you spin a top and then it starts to spin too out of control and starts to wobble.
Will Ferrell, sorry.
Well, you had the first part, right? We just needed to change a lot about who the person would be the second part. Exactly. My question is he being provocative on purpose or are we watching a person, or are we watching a top spin off into chaos? Because like, where is the
chaos?
Why is there no therapist before we go into the stew? Like these things could have been worked out.
He's a black man. Black men and therapy don't go hand in hand.
So they have to work it out in front of us like this?
They don't go hand in hand.
Like, what?
Yes. through song lyrics. I mean, you know, he has the Megan Thee Stallion stuff that he's gone through. There's a lot of hate that's coming towards like mm-hmm. black women from him. And there's like, again, internalized hate that's coming out as well. Like, I mean, I think he's a wonderful candidate for therapy. Like even some of his rants that I saw on this last tour, I was like, yeah, you know, that couch that you have on stage with your younger self, I feel like that should be something you do with your therapist of how you're talking to your younger self. You're like, break that down. Because fame is a motherfucker and it will get you into a whole other place. And if you don't have people around you, which we can know from this lyric, who are humbling him and level setting him, we're going to see a crash and burn, you know, and then hopefully it'll be like a, you know, he learns from it, builds. But I don't want him to go down the yay.
That's exactly. I'm looking down into the hallway and being like, we know what that's like. It's still unfolding in front of us. And does it need to go in that direction? Still, or is it the kind of thing, now I'm always having meta thoughts of just like, is he the kind of person that's just like, all fame is good fame and all exposure is good exposure? Because for someone like that who started from Jimmy and is from the bottom and now he's here specifically. I tried really hard not to, but I'm really glad that you completed the cycle for us. I was like, stutter. It was like an urge.
Stutter from the song.
Just came right out of me. Came out of my body. But if you're someone who started from Jimmy, started from the bottom, here can never end. You know what I mean? Like it can't fall off. Yeah.
We saw him graduate from Degrassi. Like, you know, like, don't get me wrong, Drake has done some incredible things and done things that some rappers will never be able to achieve. And I like his little emo side when he has feelings. I think that's important to see. But he needs to have those emo feelings with the therapist and stop harming.
He has too much of a platform to be just like spraying it all about like a random sad SoundCloud rapper.
It's the youth.
That's what's scary too, because they're seeing that and they're like, well, if Drake can get away with saying things like that and feeling things like this out loud, then I'm gonna hit my teacher.
Really? Influence, you know. I'm gonna whip and chain my
punch the bus driver.
Think about that. But you know what the youth don't know the joy of? That NSYNC may be coming back.
I felt it in my joints.
Now, where are you? Are you Backstreet Boys NSYNC or NSYNC?
Until I die.
What set did you claim?
Are you kidding me?
All right, good. Because it would have ended this podcast. I'm team NSYNC.
I mean,
day.
Because you have a brain and a heart and your eyes work and your ears work. It just never, mm-hmm. and I can't tell now mm-hmm. if this is just an allegiance that was formed into me in my formative years and I can't see logic past it, but it's NSYNC forever. Like, I just don't see the point in being whoever else, which we don't need to talk to because they're not coming back the way it's again.
No. This is not a whole thing. I just want to share my excitement with the world.
I would like it to be a whole thing. I mean, the rollout has been a drip, a slow drip. At first, I would say was it the VMAs that they came out on stage and everyone was like, they came VMAs, out and I mean,
but they also have a TikTok now.
And they have now they're sort of waking up. They're like, we're literally a decade late to the party. But when I first saw them walk out on the VMA stage, I was like, immediately, maybe it's just sort of like reunion tease trauma. I was like, it's nothing. Don't tease me in sync. Like,
give us the troll song, exactly. Which is great. I mean, I'm a Justin Timberlake. I was a Justin Timberlake fan, and then you know he became very problematic. And so my favorite is Lance Bass because he doesn't. He's like, I'm here. Yeah, I didn't know the lyrics of the song. Yeah, I don't. I'm probably gonna get in trouble because I'm talking shit about NSYNC. And I'm like, you know, Lance.
He's the realist. Weren't they on Hot Ones? And now that clip of him on Hot Ones going viral, they're like, hey, Lance. He's like, yes, I'm gay. We're like,
yes, I'm gay.
If I could just go back to my 11-year-old self and be like, look at this clip. Look into the future. See this future.
Look at this clip. In the future.
Invest in your retirement and look at this clip. It makes me happy. I can't wait.
Now it's time for Twice as Hard. While BIPOC individuals often have to work twice as hard to get half as far, the segment highlights a conversation or eye-opening moment for BIPOC, Black, Indigenous people of color, and culture, politics. This week, it's about my favorite, Colin Kaepernick. Some of you may or may not know, used to be a quarterback, famously played for the 49ers here, where we're repping. Bern is in San Francisco. I'm here in Oakland. I'm a Raiders fan, but it's a whole thing. I can't get into it. I'm heartbroken. But this week he wrote this beautiful, powerful letter to the New York Jets. They're down a quarterback to potentially be like a backup quarterback, help with like training. And his friend J. Cole just put the letter on Instagram because J. Cole was like, yo, bro.
It's beautiful, bro.
You should share this with the world. Like, it's important. And so that letter that goes to the New York Jets coach and administration, he mentions a couple things in there that I think are incredibly powerful. Kaepernick says, worst case scenario, you see what I have to offer and you're not that impressed. Best case scenario, you realize you have a real weapon on your disposal in the event you ever need to use it. In either of these scenarios, I would be committed to getting your defense ready week in, week out, all season long, and I would wear that responsibility like a badge of honor.
I just feel, it's beautiful. Like, so my broken 90s brain saw like the American flag come up behind him and wave. Now, I don't want it actually to be the American flag because of what Colin Kaepernick has gone through, but some flag.
It's him with his fist.
It's a flag of himself with
his fist. And his own Nike jersey is the only athlete who had a deal without being a signed athlete.
Exactly. So it's him in that jersey and then like wind blowing and trumpets blaring. It's just so like,
Afro.
It's just like flowing. It's really, really powerful.
I mean, he definitely deserves to play. What some people may not realize is that he has been training. So he hasn't been on the field since for 7 years, but he has been training the same for 6 years, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. in the weight room, on the field, like as if he is still a paid professional athlete. Right. Like he's ready to go. And I do hope that this turns into something for him because I refuse to watch the NFL until Colin Kaepernick can play again, and he still has time to do it because the NFL is very problematic, although they are giving us Usher.
Thank you for that. Again, with the millennial, like cashing in on the millennial nostalgia.
Yeah. Well, we have to thank Jay-Z and Roc Nation for that. But I'm ready to be peace up, a down, down. I will watch the halftime after. It's live, but I look forward to that. But I do hope that Kaepernick is in a position where he can play. He has done so many things to make sure that BIPOC, Black and Brown people are supported with like Know Your Rights Camp, which is something everyone should follow. It's very informative. How his foundation is paying for autopsies of Black and Brown people who have been murdered by police. There's education components. I mean, like doing tremendous work and still using his platform, which shows you that everything he did wasn't performative. It was just like, hey, I'm a Black man. Black and Brown people are being murdered by police. I can't. You know, this national anthem doesn't. It's not for me. You know. Definitely
it's
proud
super powerful. It's also amazing for me to watch him put together such a powerful statement, basically not like asking to be let back into the game, but just being like, do you understand what you have at your disposal here? I'm offering my strength and my services to you, but also to an institution that largely has shat.
He went to the Super Bowl.
Like largely has shat on him, right? Like this is an institution that has turned its back on him and that he has like had to really kind of create from all his own controversy and has created incredible things and is like, I still love the game enough to want to do what I love to do. And like that, to me, it just speaks so much power into like, I'm not begging to be let back in. This is something I'm good at. You can have me if you want to. And I'm also still Colin Kaepernick. Like this is not me crawling back to be like, okay, like I'm gonna kiss the feet and I'm gonna kiss the ring. Like this is him being like, I'm powerful as hell.
But that letter, I do encourage folks to read it. It's all over. But it shows the affirmation, the power he has, and he knows what he's bringing to the table. And no matter what happens, he has that confidence within him. He knows his worth. And it's just a beautiful thing to see, particularly for a man of color, for a Black man. But the opposite of color is white.
It is. It is science. It's science.
And science. And one of my favorite segments is Sounds About White. Yes. This is the part of the show where we highlight a news story featuring the latest in white privilege. This week, it is all about Vivek Ramaswamy. Mm. Now, some of you are like, wait, hey, he is not white. Mm. And that is true. But this is these are examples of how white supremacy shows up and how he's upholding values of white supremacy. So short version, Vivek is trash. But I'll give you the details.
It's trash.
He's in favor of ending, he said, I favor ending birthright citizenship for the kids of illegal immigrants in this country.
Jesus. Okay, mm-hmm. Okay, Vivek. Mm-hmm.
And so for people who don't know what the birthright citizenship is, any child born in the U.S. is automatically a citizen. And Vivek said he would not allow the children of immigrants in the country illegally to automatically become mm-hmm. U.S. citizens. Now, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing.
Bring in the science.
He's a child of immigrants. Oh,
look at that. Look at that.
Yes. Now, he's probably going to be like, well, my parents brought me in legally and blah, 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 or whatever. Right. I'm a child of an immigrant.
I'm a child of an immigrant. Immigrants.
Hmm. Boom. Yeah. Right. And so, you know, this is what we call like self-hate.
Deep and intense. That's why I love that this segment is called Sounds About White, because you can look like a Vivek, mm-hmm. but you can sound like trash. And that is the white supremacy speaking out, not just speaking out in this situation, but like he has clearly, like so many folks, convinced himself that if he sounds this way, he is an exception to BIPOC and he's an exception to other children of immigrants, like that we can act white and play white and dress white mm-hmm. and pander to Republican politics and somehow be safe. And we're not, and you're not. Mm-hmm.
Above
yes.
others, right? And so that's superior to, almost like white supremacy.
Is that how that works?
Right?
The math is mathing.
How is it you just add that? And we know one way to do it is attacking oppressed groups. So immigrants, Vivek Ramaswamy has also said that transgenderism, especially in kids, is a mental health disorder. It is not compassionate to affirm a kid's confusion. This is not compassion. That is cruelty. That is what he said. He continued to say he vows to ban genital mutilation or chemical castration under the age of 18. God. We all know the APA or the American Psychiatric Association says that diverse gender expressions are not indications of a mental disorder. Yes. It used to be that way, but that was changed, right? And anyone who feels they've transitioned and it wasn't for them is incredibly rare. So what we see with white people, also with like the Trump era Republicans, is if we control oppressed people and we put policies and practices around them, we can silence them. If we silence them, we can have power and control. If we have power and control, we can be part of the dominant culture. If we're part of the dominant culture, we can do whatever the fuck we want. And that's what we're seeing in this case with Vivek. So I don't know if anyone needs to know this, but like being an immigrant has nothing to do with anyone. It's literally how it's almost like it's not, I don't feel like I should whisper it. It's almost like how like America was founded.
Oh yeah, we don't talk about that. But we don't talk about that. We can't. We don't talk about how American was founded and is literally run by immigrants, run the engine, many, many engines of this country, but it's best not to acknowledge.
I mean, like douchebag white dudes did it for sure that like came from England. We don't have to get lies, rumors, perhaps. I don't know.
Mythology and lore.
Somehow America has nothing to do with immigrant people. But like being a trans person has nothing to do with anyone's life except for that we create cultures of belonging for our trans community.
And that's all we need to do. It's our only job.
Like Vivek's going to bed like, oh, these trans kids, I can't sleep. It's ruining my life. How is it ruining your life when you have supportive parents or caregivers or obviously the kid who's being able to feel like they belong within their own self and their own bodies? Like how is that
in general, these two things being a part of this person's platform is incredibly confusing to me because like you said, none of these things have anything to do with like probably his like experience of life, his comforts from day to day. It's pure hate. And like you said, it's self-hate. And it's just useless. That's what makes me step back from this conversation about supporting trans kids and even just like acknowledging that children of immigrants and immigrants are full in and of themselves humans in this country. To deny them as such, what does that do for you? What does that do besides engender more hate? And I don't know. It kind of makes me think of like our discussion about Drake/Aubrey. It's like, are you doing this just to piss people off? And like, and is pissing people off the point of your existence? Because you're winning. But otherwise, like, I wish you were winning at a video game and not the sad game of our lives, which is American politics. It just makes you want to barf.
It's just power and control, being above the law, not being held accountable. These are tenets of white supremacy, and that's what we're seeing. White people are exhausting. Mm-hmm. White supremacy is also
whiteness
exhausting.
Whiteness is exhausting.
You know what's not? Oh, being soft. Being a soft black woman is not. It's not. It's the soft opposite of exhausting, nice. Of being yes. a soft black woman. And so it's to close rejuvenate. Out the show, I'd love to, I mean, yeah, want to highlight the person who's being soft out there, being a soft black woman, which is Megan Thee Stallion.
Our Lord and
AKA
Savior.
Tina Snow. Mm-hmm. I do love Megan. She, you know, had a wonderful two nights in Houston with her idol, like losing her shit, being able to, you know, be on stage with Beyonce for Renaissance, which is fantastic. But Megan joined the Seize the Awkward campaign. And it's all about, you know, checking in on your friends and like the strong ones. And so in this check in on your friends, like PSA, which is super cute. I highly recommend people take a look at it. She says, y'all, it's okay to not be okay. I've been told I got to be strong, thick skin, stiff upper lip, tough as nails, but to be everything for everybody. It wears on you. Black don't crack, they say, but it can. I can. We all can. And I just think it's like incredibly powerful for her to say things like, you know, reach out to a friend. And no matter, you know, who you are, being vulnerable is what makes us whole, which I think is incredibly important. She wanted to get part of it, you know, of this campaign because she's obviously gone through a lot. We've talked about like the whole Tory Lanez shooting thing and that incident and the Drake shit that she also had to deal with and other celebrities were doing similar things. And she just wanted, as she said, I just want my hotties to know, let it out. Tell somebody because someone does care.
Yeah.
I just had to
exactly.
do it.
Exactly.
So, it's like what a lot of people don't realize is that suicide rates and trigger warning, talking about suicide, have increased for Black people, according to the CDC, 5.5% in the past couple of years. And Rita Walker, who's a professor of psychology and director of the University of Houston's Culture, Risk, and Resilience Lab, she said, particularly for Black people, it's a cultural legacy of survival in the face of brutal circumstances. Mm. And I just want to break that down. As Black people in America, we have ancestral trauma from the enslavement of people who look like us or were directly related to us. As a result of that, we keep a lot of things in because we have been conditioned to do that. We've also been conditioned by white supremacy to have an air of perfectionism and not be viewed as less than because, again, it's already twice as hard for us to navigate and be in spaces. And so to have someone like Megan Thee Stallion who is talking about, you know, what she's experiencing, how she's felt, and how to check in on your strong friends, which is why this podcast is Soft Black Woman, because I have given up being strong. Not for me. Not I don't do it. Gorgeous. Don't call me strong.
Love that.
I'm soft. Yes. I would like Travis Kelce to, you know.
Rock you like a baby.
Give me my food half naked. Sure. He could rock me in another way, but sure. Sorry, Swifties.
It's okay.
Sorry, you know, he's off the market. But you know, to have softness and support, and one way to do that is obviously with your friends. Because we are talking about mental health, if you or someone you know is, you know, going through some feelings, you can tap into Mental Health of America or Megan Thee Stallion's fantastic website, which also has resources on it. Bad Bitches Have Bad Days Too.
Amen. It gives me a lot of joy to see something like this and how sometimes I get a headache about like just the world of celebrity and how entrenched we get in, especially I would say like the traumas that happen to Black women and how that becomes, it's a circus in and of itself. Like it's some days it's not about Megan's incredible artistry or how hard she works or how like powerful she is, how badass she is. It's about the abuse that she's gone through men, through other artists and how that's become, that is the headline a lot of the time. And so you look at someone like Megan Thee Stallion and I'm sure like, I mean, to the nth degree, she's being told like, you're so strong. Wow, I'm so impressed by how resilient you are. And you must be so tough. And like the person who you expect to be the toughest in the world telling you that it's okay not to be okay, that is so incredibly powerful. I'm like, if celebrity leads to this, then great. Like, let's keep shooting people out into the atmosphere, because this is someone who understands her responsibility to her community. And it makes me really happy.
Makes me happy too. How will you bring softness into
your life? I bring softness into most of my days by napping. But today, this week, do you ever, I don't know if this is just being in your 30s, you ever just wake up in your regular bed the way you've always slept, and then your neck hates you? Your neck just wants to like secede from your whole body?
Yes, same, but I'm in my 40s.
So even more so.
I've had more.
Exactly.
More
and so I'm having that kind of week where it's like, no matter what I do, my right shoulder is like, suck a D. Everything I do, we hate you. And so my softness is in not pushing myself to do my usual like exercise regimens, lay down, go slow. Like I have this, there's a perfectionist overachiever in my brain that's like, stretch it out, push it out, work harder, like ignore it. And I'm like, no, I'm going to move slow. I'm going to take painkillers when I need to. I'm going to like, I'm going to be a wiggly worm as opposed to like a bad bitch.
Be a wiggly flexoril is my drug choice. My muscle relaxer. I deal with pain all the time. And so the softness part is really important to give yourself some time to kind of recover and heal and not like bounce back. And you're not a professional athlete. That's not how you make your money. You just need to feel good in what you're doing when you're changing the world with all this financial wisdom and knowledge. So my softness that I'm bringing in for the week is actually for the rest of the year. So I've shared before, many of you know, I'm having major surgery, and the major surgery is going to take me out for a minute. Currently, right now in this moment, in pain, my blood supply is limited to my stomach and my gastrointestinal tract. So they have to go in there, and it's a two-part surgery to like open things up. Happy note, I've been able to fit into clothes I haven't been able to fit into for a while because I've lost so much weight. It's, you know, I got my summer body by not being able to eat much food. So I'm going to do that. And so I'm role modeling the behavior of being a soft Black woman by kind of shutting things down so I can focus on myself and not even put myself in a situation of being half upright to do this podcast. But the other thing that I'm going to do, I guess, for softness is, it's been a hard week, y'all. I am someone who has major depressive disorder. Everything is going wrong in my entire life, including the Wi-Fi.
It is.
It's to start our conversation today. Oh, yeah. Being played. And so I always talk openly about depression, but I'm at the place right before suicidal ideation, which is one of my least favorite places to be. I'm not in suicidal ideation, but it's the place before. It's just like, why?
Why everything?
Why and how? How am I going to do these things? Why everything? And why everything is happening right now? And so I am also preparing myself for, I've never been in a situation where I haven't worked for like a month and a half. I don't know what that's like. I don't even know if I can do it. I don't know, but I also want to do it right. So I have like a stack of magazines I haven't been able to read because I've been writing a book and shows that I want to watch. And so I'm hoping like with having my surgery, being able to eat again and being able to, it'll be a difficult recovery, like relax, that I will be a softer Black woman when I come back in January of 2023.
Can I ask, do you feel like you have folks in your life who can remind you to be soft during this moment of like a month and a half where you're going to be challenged to be softer than ever? Because for me, when you take work out of the equation, for me, I flounder. I'm like, wait, work is my identity. Work is what I do. And so I did a spiral.
I know. I can't even like organize something as a Virgo. I can't even do that because my, everything's happening in my, abdomen. So it'll be hard for me to do a lot of stuff. But I don't have the strongest support system right now. And that's something I'm working on with my therapist. I don't know. It's a weird thing because I'm viewed as a strong Black
Megan is here.
Woman,
Megan is made with the chat.
And so I'm just right. And I was just like, no, I'm soft. I'm disabled. I need help. I need support. And so I've been thinking about like my friendships, like my family relationships, like what is giving me support? Because all I do is solve people's problems all day. You know, I have this podcast talking about all y'all and, you know, which I love. Don't get me wrong. I love doing, but I give out a lot more than what I get in return. And so that's something that's also making all this harder and the major depressive disorder bubbling up, you know, as a result of that. But apparently, I decided to have a slogan that says, keep being amazing. So,
well, I think that's part of my softness is like learning to ask for help when I need it, which is it's funny that it's related to softness because that feels like daggers in my eyeballs and like in my soul to when I'm having a moment of weakness, physical or emotional or mental, to actually ask and reach out for help. So I see you in that and I acknowledge that. Yeah. If there's anything I can do.
I mean, I'm for sure better at it. I feel there's still like limitations too. So, you know, there's sure you ask, but what if the person doesn't do it? And I will ask, but if they don't do it, then I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I'm now you're on timeout.
Yes.
You're on timeout. Yeah. You're on timeout. You have to show up in a different way. And which I think is really important to like softness and support and how that shows up. You can't ask an empty cup to fill your cup.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or put a little bit in your cup or half in your cup, you know what I mean? And so, you know, those are the things that I guess I will probably ponder. Maybe I'll write another book while I sit here.
Don't recovering. Make yourself work on another book while you're chilling.
Feelings and emotions. I don't know. I'm going to figure it out. Can you tell the listeners
absolutely.
How to find you?
I am on Instagram at HeyBurna. I'm on all the other platforms at HeyBurna, but I'm the most obnoxious on Instagram. And you can learn more about me and what I do on my book at HeyBurna.com.
Thank you. Please follow her, get her book, support a BIPOC author. These things are super important. Congratulations to an incredible campaign, the work that you've been doing, that you've been leading. Shout out to Kat, who's been helping you as well, you know, with doing awesome, amazing things. But that is it for today's episode. And also for the first season of Soft Black Woman.
Let's celebrate for 2 seconds.
In 2023. Give it 2 seconds to just and I get to do it with you.
That's so major. I see.
You know, it's just for Sean, my wonderful.
You like that, Sean? Like the titty?
Background. Boss of the producers. Yeah. And Sacramento. Be sure to join Soft Black Woman Be sure to join the Soft Black Woman Club by leaving us a rating and review on Apple and Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast. Follow the show on our brand new feed. So you want to go ahead and put Soft Black Woman in Spotify or Apple. I will pop up. All the episodes will be there too. So you can find them, listen to them while I'm gone. You can think about me. Inside of my DM, send me a note. I'll let y'all know when I'm out of surgery so you can give me some softness. You know, look at that. Look at me asking, putting it out there.
Advocating for yourself.
For support. You know, maybe that little food train thing. So get meals sent or whatever. I'll get on it. I know, right? Be sure to follow the new channel. And remember, I'll be back January 2024, ready to eat. And not be in pain. It's so funny. I was at a Saks lunch and this woman next to me was like, why aren't you eating your food? I was like, I can't really eat because I have to have surgery. And she was like, oh my God, what are you getting done? And
not
I was like, like rare disease.
No, I'm trying to stay healthy. That's what, it's part of my health.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to stay healthy. I know. I laughed very hard. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. But you know, when that sucks, right?
Baby.
So make sure you follow me at Change Kaday and follow Betches_news on Instagram and TikTok. Until next week, remember to stay soft and keep being amazing. Soft Black Woman is produced by Amanda Duberman, Rebecca Salzmacat, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Rebecca Salzmacat. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. Social media by Amanda Duberman and Bridget Swartz. Be sure to follow at Betches_sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and send us your emails on suppod@betches.com.
Betches.